Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that?
Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is poured by Pelican Brewing. Soak in the sunshine with the return of Pelican's seasonal beer, Pelicano. Available in clear glass bottles for refreshment you can see.
All right, Daily Ticker time on a Thursday, brought to you as always by our great friends at Pelican Brewing. Experience your hops differently with Pelican's new hop-infused hard seltzer. Hard hops, blackberries infused with Strata hops made with real blackberries, and available now at a store near you. Joining us now, let's talk some NBA draft, shall we? The Blazers get the 11th overall pick in the lottery the other night. What are we looking at with the big board? Joining us now, Tyler Metcalf, friend of the show, the No Ceilings podcast, at TMetcalf11 on Twitter. You go give him a follow there. Tyler, good morning to you. Blazers get the 11th overall pick. Just in generalities, how should Blazer fans feel about that?
This is kind of a tough way to start. Good morning, but unfortunately disappointed. It's kind of a tough range for them because there are some really fun shooters and wings. They'll probably end up going a little before that. There's plenty of talent to be excited about, but I think they're kind of in this range where they might just be a little bit behind where they wanted some of their top guys. So it'll be really interesting to see if they keep the pick, if they move it, or just kind of what route they go, given how the draft falls.
Yeah, how do you gauge this? I think the tough thing for us out here is we look at the mocks, and you guys do such an exceptional job, is just gauging, are you finding somebody that's going to fall because of the amount of talent in this draft versus taking maybe a swing, a player that isn't projected to go necessarily as high, but they're at 11 because maybe the upside's high enough. Like, if you're advising the Blazers, how are you gauging what's going to be around in the 10, 11, 12 area?
Yeah, and the way they've kind of approached their drafts, especially in these last couple of years, is taking the biggest swing possible and taking the highest upside guy and then trying to fill in for fit and need with some of their later picks or in free agency or, you know, even trades like we saw with that Denny trade. But I'm really fascinated to see, because we see it every year, someone inevitably falls, at least a little bit. And whether that's going to be Kasper Jakusconis or maybe Con Knipple, who's been one of the hottest names on the street currently, I think he'll probably go top 5, 6, 7. But if he falls, he's a perfect fit. And this is a really kind of a tough center class. So if teams reach on some bigs like a Kaman Malawach and maybe a couple guys like a Derek Queen and Thomas Sorber, if teams in the top 10 ahead of Portland reach a little bit on those guys, it could push some of those really fun and intriguing guards or wings who provide a little bit more shooting and athleticism down to where the Blazers are.
Interesting. We're talking with Tyler Metcalf, No Ceilings podcast, at TMetcalf11 on Twitter. You can go give him a follow. If you're just to kind of ballpark the where the number runs out on, if you're, you know, this X number of players are elite or guys that I would be kind of tripping over myself to go get, is it 4 guys? Is it 5, 7, 8? How many names kind of jump out in your head of, ooh, that guy's got a legitimate chance to go be a star in the NBA?
I would probably be around like that 4 mark with 5 and 6 peeking in. With a little more of an outside chance where if a lot of things go right, they could definitely hit there. But like the 3 biggest names and obviously the 2 biggest ones are Cooper Flagg, who's in my eyes, the best college prospect since Anthony Davis. Dylan Harper, who looks like a mix of De'Aaron Fox and Cade Cunningham. Ace Bailey's upside is tremendously high. I'm a huge Trey Johnson fan. And then you have guys like VJ Edgecombe and Jeremiah Fears, who have some pretty major holes in their game. But when you look at how much they've grown over the last year and factor in the intangibles and then along with what they do on the court, there's some really exceptionally fun outcomes with them if a couple things go right.
Yeah, Tyler, you know, Derek Queen has been mocked a little bit by some as in that area where the Blazers are. I think technically he's listed at as center. We've got one of those. I know their games aren't exactly the same. Is Queen one of the players that you think can mold into a four at the next level? And is that one that makes sense with what Portland currently is?
It's really tricky with Queen because his offensive game is so exceptionally fun. I mean, we see the footwork, the passing, especially going back to high school. He's got so much more passing to his game, kind of like Klingon showed in college, and a little less so in his rookie year. But the big thing with Queen, if he's going to transition down to the four, which I think he'll inevitably need to, is he's going to have a major body transformation like we saw from Naz Reid in Minnesota, and where he's able to utilize his footwork and agility a little better since he's not the most explosive athlete. And then that outside shot's really going to have to come around. The mid-range numbers are good. The touch is encouraging. The outside numbers weren't great this year. He's never been much of a shooter, but I think there are some indicators that long-term he can grow into that role. So if the shot really takes a step forward, like we kind of think and hope it does, and it's paired with that, you know, pretty significant body transformation, I definitely think there's some really high-level outcomes for him as a four.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B plus life? It's so dangerous to live that. More dangerous than a B minus or a C plus life, because when you're living a B or B plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A-plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, it's interesting because with the 11th overall pick, I think we all are in agreement the chances of landing something are slim. But we have seen 11th overall, but you know, SGA, for example, going to win MVP this year. He was the 11th overall pick. So there have been some of them. I'm curious to ask you just on the upside of like a player you're willing to gamble on, that clearly it's an unknown, but somebody you said, man, whether it's his physical traits, whether it's the shooting ability, whether it's the intelligence that comes with the game, whatever the case may be, is there a guy there at 11, if they do keep the pick, which we think that they will, you say, you know, that is definitely worth the swing. I wouldn't peg him as an all-star or an MVP kind of guy, but if X, Y, and Z goes right, that kind of gamble makes sense there at 11.
Carter Bryant, small forward from Arizona, is really, really high on my list, and the type of guy you kind of talk about. Awesome athlete, and, you know, I just talked about body transformation with Queen, but I saw Carter 2 years ago and then 3 years ago even out at Nike Hoop Summit, and the way that his body transformed in terms of putting on significant muscle, getting more explosive while not losing any of that lateral agility was incredibly impressive. And all year, his role at Arizona was really frustrating because Tommy Lloyd didn't play him a ton, but every time he was on the court, he just produced winning basketball and made that team so much better. And for a freshman role player to do that is really rare. He might be the best perimeter defender in this class, really big-time athlete, smart passer. I buy the shot as that off-ball kind of 3-and-D role player wing. I really love his upside. He'll continue to improve. You know, the outcomes with him get a lot more exciting. And then some older guys who I think make a ton of sense are Neek Clifford from Colorado State, Rashear Fleming from St. Joseph's, and then one of the fastest risers in this draft, Cedric Howard from Washington State.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to say, though, on the side there, Tyler, my producer was in my ear literally as we were asking you that last question, and he goes, Carter Bryant's the guy I wanted you to ask about. And literally the question goes, and you say Carter Bryant. In hearing about Carter Bryant, who I believe is listed at 6'8", and he's got good frame, as you mentioned, he's only 19 years old. Perimeter defense is great. That's kind of right up their alley. They talked a lot at the end of the season about their defense, and that was the turning point for the way they kind of ended their season. Tamani Kamara took a big step. How is he as an offensive player? Is still really raw? Can he develop a three-point shot if he doesn't have one yet? How do you view Carter Bryant? Good defender. How is he offensively?
Yeah, the handle needs a lot of work, so I wouldn't view him as, oh, maybe this is some fun small forward jumbo creator type guy. Mm-hmm. But as like a connective passer, he keeps the ball moving, makes smart reads, sees the floor really well, really good cutter, above the rim finisher, super athletic, crashes the offensive glass. And I really do buy the shot. I think the mechanics are really good. He's improved every year over the past couple of years through high school and then at Arizona. It's just really tough when we watch that Arizona film because of the role that he was given. And so much of their offense was Caleb Love and Jaden Bradley dribbling the air out of the ball and kind of going ISO. And he was just there to clean up plays and finish it out. So I think he has so much more growth left in his game that I would be pretty surprised if he's not 38, 39, maybe even 40 at the peak of his career from outside. And he's at 37.1% from three this year. So I think there are really, really high or exciting outcomes with him. I just can't stress enough that it's as an off-ball guy, and there isn't. I would be really surprised if there's that on-ball role that he grows into.
You know, for covering prospects and the draft process as well as you guys do, I'm curious how much, because I listen to the pod and I'm fascinated by this side of it. You guys understand the value of these draft picks. You understand that these are the next waves and the franchise turning type players for a lot of teams. Portland leaned in last year at the end and said, no, we want to try to get an Alex Sarr. Didn't work out for him in the draft, but they got Klingon. The year before that, they did it. They got Scoot. And they did the year before that, they ended up with Shaedon Sharpe. So I'm curious, from your vantage point in a draft that you guys had been talking about last year in this same time of the talent and whatnot, do you look at teams like Portland and you say, what? Because we didn't really shut it down. We lost a couple games at the end, but largely they never really shut it down this year. That confused us out here. We just assumed they would because they had. They didn't, and it's a deeper draft. What was your takeaway, I guess, of the way Portland handled the way that their season ended versus what they had done the three previous seasons?
Yeah, and it's always kind of a tough line to ride because you're rebuilding until you're not. But you also don't want to get stuck in that kind of treadmill of mediocrity either. I think I really liked how they approached this season because they were relatively healthy for most of the year. And at some point, you have to start establishing a winning culture and winning habits and learn how to win games. Because if you just keep funneling in young talent without the expectations and the experience and the discipline, making the playoffs, you never really learn it. So I think for a lot of these guys, it gets really undersold how important having some of those winning practices is. It would have been great if they were able to bring in another top five pick to this young core. But when you bring in a guy like Denny, who had the season he did, and Tumani makes the jump like he did, and Scoot is steadily starting to figure some stuff out, and then you're getting the impact from your front court as well. At some point, you have to start winning games and figure out what that feels like. And in a draft like this, where there are some really, in that 10 to 14 range in that back half of the lottery, there's some talented role players that you can get. I don't think it's the worst thing by any means.
Interesting. Tyler Metcalf, great stuff from him. No Ceilings podcast at No Ceilings NBA. You can give him a follow on Twitter at TMetcalf11. We always appreciate the time, man. Great insight on the draft, the prospects. Hopefully we can do this again soon.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay. Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.